Welcome to the A News Podcast. This is episode 131. This podcast covers anarchist activity, ideas, and conversations from the previous week on Anarchist News. We try to be useful to and funny for anarchists and the anarcho-curious. Give us feedback and constructive criticism by email at podcast@anarchistnews.org. For more information and usually some good commentary, go to the non-sectarian anarchistnews.org. Editorial. Self-knowledge and the benefit of assholes. I was reading this book, and then I stopped. The book is by a smart young woman, a very second-wave feminist, albeit in a modern way, or at least the book was written as such a feminist. She isn't exactly what I would call an anarchist, though she's anarchist-friendly, sort of. Anyway, Magpie likes her. But none of that is the point. The point is that I stopped reading the book, partly because I was bored with the analysis, way too much Trump in the examples, and way too much thinking that I explored decades ago. However, I stopped also partly because I found myself responding in an irritated way to my male housemate in exactly the way that second-wave feminism promotes, or at least promotes for me. My housemate and I have come to some understandings, tacit or otherwise, about how the house works best, and I have been, if anything, the more active agent in those decisions. But being open to other people's analysis sometimes means being swayed by it, even when you don't agree with it. I know this about myself already, luckily. You wouldn't know it to talk to me, probably, as I come off like a rigid asshat, but I am flexible somewhere inside, in a way that would be dangerous, for example, if I were ever imprisoned, or in some other way forced to deal with assholes for a long period of time. I had a friend once who planned on becoming a high-powered lawyer, and my first thought on hearing this plan was a combination of, how unrealistic is that? And how horrible it would be if it worked. How would she keep from becoming one of them? Partly, this is an argument for anarchist culture, sub or otherwise. Who we surround ourselves with helps us, not only to have more interesting and potentially useful analysis, but even just to maintain ourselves as we want to be. It's also an argument for assholes, for people who hold on to their beliefs in the face of the overwhelming odds that surround all of us. I cannot stand Bob Black, but the argument for him is that it sometimes or frequently takes someone who is prepared for people to hate him to take unpopular stands that are important. Bob goes beyond that and hates himself, but that's a story for a different time. Toning down being an asshole and learning to step up when one tends to be too open are life lessons. We all have to learn them for ourselves. What's new this week? Indigenous Anarchist Convergence report back from Tala Hogan InfoShop. The report back that is less opinionated, more neutral, and even-handed. Very respectful for people who like that sort of thing. Everyone who presented gets a shout-out here, by which I mean they get a thumbnail of what they said. Any noticeable snark is general, and appropriate, of course. And this report back also gives kudos to the remarkable work that was done more or less behind the scenes by the people cooking and cleaning. Thanks, as always, to them all. Free events that provide a place to sleep and food for people are always amazing, and here the food was really good, which makes it a hen's tooth. Quote, though leftist reactions were often replicated and much time was spent with well-rehearsed presentations, the primary goals of coming together and interrogating the propositions of indigenous anarchism were fulfilled. We were also able to coordinate this gathering with a budget of less than $800, thanks to everyone online who donated, as we relied heavily on the mutual aid from many of our relatives in Kinlani who cooked, donated food, opened up their homes, and volunteered to support. In those terms, the convergence could be counted as a success. But what we share in this report back should not be viewed as a celebration. This in no way represents everything that was discussed, challenged, debated, or expressed. Perhaps this incomplete offering, written from memory, limited recordings, and scrapped together notes, should be seen more as fragments of stones which we can sharpen ourselves on. Unquote. Here's to getting sharper.
Donald Room, UK atheist, anarchist, and artist, dead at 91. From Free Thinker magazine, a British anti-religion magazine with impressive history. This notice of Room's death goes into some detail about an event in a protest in 1963 when he was framed for having a brick in his pocket. It's a good story, but it does imply that he didn't do anything of note since then, which seems unfortunate. It does link to a page with his cartoons, called Ruminations, for a handy bit of wordplay, but none of the ones this jaded viewer looked at struck a nerve. Political cartooning is hard, people. Quote, Room edited the London-based anarchist paper Freedom for many years. He became lecturer in typography at the London College of Printing, took an open university degree in life sciences, and was elected a member of the Institute of Biology at 80, unquote.
Remembering Zalil from Crime Think. This memorial is much more personal, and also, per usual for Crime Think pieces, is very filtered through Crime Think. The author met Zalil on a tour and got to know him better when Zalil started volunteering for Crime Think. It's a bit odd to have someone write something like this for a person they didn't know well, but okay. Zalil was killed by Turkish military, where he was fighting in the Kurdish HPG. Other obituaries were written about him, but Crime Think is the only anarchist one, for what that's worth. Quote, when Zalil polemicized against Western individualism, citing Öcalan, I confronted him with the ideas of Max Stirner. We got into a debate about autonomy, the individual, and the importance of revolutionary politics. Shortly afterwards, we lost contact, but even today, the memory of that night remains clear in my mind. Unquote. I think we can all relate.
Another network is possible from Logic Magazine, the name of which speaks for itself. This is an appreciation of indie medias, including how they started and what they were, and are, good for. It's written by a non-anarchist, so of course the solution to the problems that ended most indie media projects is more centralization and leadership. Of course. Not a mention of how the media and computer scenario has changed, or how corporations took what was marketable about our projects and ran with it. Of course. The article also suggests that such projects would be nice vacations from the corporate world that surrounds us, you know, like visiting the natives in some other country. Quote, a revitalization of an indie media-like project today would never be a replacement for the platforms that are so intertwined with our lives, but it could provide a welcome retreat, a place online that is less tethered to corporate interests, where activists across movements locally and globally can share stories, calendars, and concerns without feeding Facebook and Google's advertising empire, unquote. Arg. Whatever, for a piece written by and for tech lovers, there are some good bits.
Detroit Trash Incinerator Closing, Eco-Apocalypse Continues. From Fifth Estate. A long and loving rehash of the decades-long fight against an incinerator and the history of the longest-lived group fighting it, including realistic assessments of how much that group's activities mattered. This is written by someone who was there in the 80s when the fight started and has been part of the mix ever since, making it a classic of what Fifth Estate is best for: thoughtful, experienced, anarchist, culturally grounded reflections on events. One could say Freddie and Lorraine-esque. Quote, let's face it, the crisis for which the incinerator functioned as a metaphor or object lesson is a crisis in civilization, a crisis in culture, conscience, and character. However much the corporate and state power complex has created these problems and continues to resist social change, the stench of garbage of our own shit reminds us of our denial, our complicity, our distracted business as usual, not just theirs. But since pessimism has a tendency to drift into inaction, and there is not much point in ruminating on the incoherence of mass society, I haven't given up thinking and writing about that, I am ready to consider just about any idea, a degrowth/deconstruction approach, a half-earth solution and mass tree planting to protect biodiversity, a Green New Deal of some kind, a combination of them all. We need to keep fighting to protect people, places, and nature, and our own humanity in the process. Unquote. Apparently, it is too long for ANews commenters to get through. This post could host a conversation about activism, longevity, realism, protest. Too bad.
Anathema, Volume 4, Issue 5, from anathema.noblogs.org. Another worthwhile issue out of Philly with news about local stuff and analysis that I find mostly friendly. From the piece on lifestylism, quote, these days what Bookchin was advocating for would look a lot like the quote-unquote normie socialism found in the DSA or Philly Socialists. Remember that Philly Socialist cool kids versus organizers meme from a year ago? The one that emphasized organizers fitting in, being approachable, and compromising in order to beguile the workers, sick, into joining them? Remember how it contrasted these good organizers with cool kids who were weird, with unusual hair, or, Lenin forbid, excluded someone? Well, if Bookchin could meme, the organizer would be called social anarchist and the cool kid a lifestylist, unquote. Unfortunately, the socialists probably don't get why being called Bookchinist is a problem. The Rojavans have a lot to answer for making us deal with Bookchin again. The idea that for a whole batch of newcomers, and or manipulators, he is the new street effective is laughable/tragic. Do we have to pull Bob Black on their asses?
Colonialism, Green Resistance, and Fighting Ecofascism, from antifascistnews.net. This is an interview with Kevin Tucker. This interview is also a trick. The initial portion makes KT seem like a fairly thoughtful, reasonable individual. He explains the connections between the appropriation of ethnogenic plants and a continued legacy of extraction from indigenous communities. He blames hippies for some of this, and while I don't totally agree that, quote, dropout culture, unquote, really had that great of an impact, we can all agree on hating hippies. But then KT says something like, quote, libertarians have drifted into this very individualistic undercurrent of anarchist theory, and so you're seeing this validation and expansion of once extremely fringe beliefs, things like anarcho-capitalism and national anarchism. So I think the anarchist milieu ought to have a bit of a reckoning with itself, sort out some of these hyper-individualistic and egoist perspectives to see how they could lead toward fascist ideologies themselves under the same banner, unquote. The fascist creep, y'all. Be there or be square.
SPIE vehicle torched in solidarity with Park Bench 3 in Hamburg, Germany. From Anarchists Worldwide, a pretty short communique. The Park Bench 3 were arrested while sitting together on a park bench, apparently for arson, but there's a lot unknown about what's really happening. Here's the heart of the communique. Quote, to secure its rule, the state relies on corporations to do their dirty work. But the fiery serpent of the anarchist revolt eats its way through these controversial territories on the trail of these companies, destroying whatever it finds. On the night of September 4th, 2019, we destroyed with fire a vehicle belonging to the infamous prison profiteers, SPIE, in Hamburg-Wandsbek. The small gesture of solidarity goes to the Park Bench 3, to the people who defend Exarchia against the attacks by the cops, and to all who want to make the expected evictions in Berlin a disaster for the government there. Autonomous group for the fight against security companies and prison profiteers, unquote.
USA, property destruction is not enough. Another solid analytical piece from Anathema, asking some of my favorite questions. Quote, instead, we've arguably lost some ground by ceding the conversation to self-defense justifications of physical violence, and by discussing violence almost exclusively with regard to people whom internet leftists like to call actual Nazis. It is not a radical discussion to think punching a Nazi is okay, and it is not a victory that after much internet discussion, we've gotten many people to take up this non-radical position. While conversations about why and how we're fighting white supremacists are important, the exclusive focus on discussing violence against grassroots racists is conveniently derailing us from talking about what kind of violence might be necessary and appropriate against the people who are actually in power, unquote. Quote, it is especially rare that this conversation leaves the realm of ethics and enters into practicalities. Anarchist attempts to take up physical violence against power have a long history, including in this country, from assassinating presidents to shooting up corporate bosses. What can we learn from the strategies and tactics of the past? And what about other people who get caught up in the crossfire of insurrectionary violence? Avoiding such conversations in order to appeal to liberals and leftists isn't doing us any favors. It just adds to the impression that many of us do not really want to deal with the problems involved with enacting violence. Unquote. Countdown to accusations of fascism in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Anarchists attack a riot police checkpoint in Exarchia, from Anon, a communique with a video. Quote, during the night of September 1st, 2019, at about 11:40, anarchists attacked the Greek riot police checkpoint into the area of Exarchia at the corner of Tasitsa and Trikoupi Street. The attack followed the events of a massive police raid against four squads, mainly housing refugees, on Monday, August 26th, and the consequent arrest of 143 migrants and three others. Following the police raid, the neighborhood of Exarchia has been turned into a militarized zone, with constant riot police attacks against people in the area and social centers, unquote. This post got a healthier comment thread than most this week. Not surprising.
Two new announcements from Distinctively Dionysian. Distinctively Dionysian is an awesome and underexposed project strongly from the Fifth Estate tendency of cultural re-slash-appropriation, only with stronger egoist flavor. The announcement of a column on anarchist options for dying and death is excellent, and I look forward to reading them. And of course, there's always appetite for more Novatory. Quote, How to Bury an Anarchist explores a variety of land and conservation topics from acquisition to actively protecting the forest in perpetuity from government and industry interference, dam breaching, wild salmon efforts, fracking pipeline and eminent domain direct actions, reforestation, and a myriad of death and cemetery topics. How to Bury an Anarchist covers human composting, direct-to-earth forest renewal, plans for those with unique wishes and concerns like protection of pseudonymity or nom de guerre before and after death, free services for the houseless, anarchist archive handling, memorial planning, and ensuring specific direct actions take place post-death, and so on. Unquote. Cool, right?
Open letter regarding Black Rose Books plan to publish a Murray Bookchin Festschrift from Reddit/r/communalists. Why is Bookchin everywhere suddenly? Blah. This is a story of bad blood and bad faith, decades later reawakened by plans for a new book. This is a letter from Bookchin's son saying that Black Rose shouldn't be continuing to profit off of Murray, since they ripped him off while he was alive. And there are details. Arguably, this is also a fight between someone's estate and an anarchist model, but either way, it's gossipy and unpleasant, and I don't want to know any of these people. Really. But probably especially keeping my distance from the Black Rose folks. Like, that'll be hard.
Anarchist Festival announces its 2020 dates from freedomnews.org.uk. Decentralized. Local. A great model. Quote, but in practice, anyone could put something on, whoever they are and wherever they are. This is a good opportunity to get anarchist thinking and practice happening in the local community and outside of the usual anarchist circles. Ideas might include reading an anarchist text in a local book group, organizing a discussion in a local pub or meeting place, engaging the local community in a little anarchism in action, be it a solidarity action collecting for a food bank, a bit of guerrilla gardening, closing a street off for a party, whatever you think is best. There's an archive of events from the last 2 years on the Anarchist Festival website, but don't let what has gone on before limit the possibilities. The potential here is endless, and the definition of what counts as anarchism can be at its broadest and most inclusive, unquote. Anyone wondering why anarchy means anything, everything, and nothing? Anyone?
Emma Goldman's Cheese Blintz Recipe from LibCom. This was Chisel's only submission to A-News this week, and she stands by it, complete with roller for the aficionado. With a reference to Emma's autobiography, here is a recipe for blintz, which can be served with savories or sweets and just require a good hand with the blatlock. And really, doesn't everything.
Audio and video. The Greek anarchist movement responds to assault on Exarchia. From It's Going Down, 1 hour and 40 minutes. I will never not hate the It's Going Down song. Anyway, this is an extended interview with an anarchist living in Exarchia. As a person who knows very little about Greece in general, and Exarchia specifically, this interview is actually pretty informative. The interviewee presents a wide-ranging background of events that created Exarchia, as well as dynamics that have shaped it, including the massive influx of refugees and the prominence of politically motivated street violence. A big portion of the conversation also had to do with the differences, and of course similarities, between the years under the Syriza government and the current New Democracy Party. Overall, some good shit. On IGD. In spite of itself.
Anarchy Bang, introducing episode 36, Nonviolent Communication, 2 hours. Quote, nonviolent communication, also known as NVC or compassionate communication, is a set of conceptual tools and a general worldview that a number of anarchists have found useful and at times have adopted. Some have found it to be a how-to guide for living without hierarchy and domination, whereas others have found it to be a series of tips for approaching conflict in ways that are hopefully more productive. NVC can be used as a way to do conflict resolution, which is what it is best known for, but it can also be used for meeting facilitation, counseling, and therapy, and some would say for social change work itself. The crux of NVC is developing one's ability to make distinctions between objective observations versus subjective interpretations, bodily felt feelings versus cognitive evaluations, and fundamental human needs versus the infinite ways that needs can be met. The ultimate goal of NVC is for its practitioners to come to embody a way of being that the psychologist Carl Rogers said is most helpful in relationships. Heartfelt authenticity, empathic understanding, and unconditional positive regard. The idea is that through such qualities being present in a relationship, that relationship will eventually and inevitably become stronger, autonomy-respecting, collaborative, and conducive to those involved in realizing their own personal power. Anarchy, baby! Unquote. As long as there is no talk of giraffes or jackals, we're good.
Topic of the week, the old gods and the new. Spirituality, the gift that keeps on giving. A topic that has a thousand questions and often no answers. It's often said that our society is a hollow one, a carcass of a worm, a monstrous cadaver that leaves its inhabitants feeling just as dead and empty. Much of what gets called radicalism seems to be an attempt, in more or less reactionary ways, to fill this void with meaning. Much like with organized religion, radicalism gives you a congregation, group of people who probably dislike each other but agree to meet once a week, good works, and foundational texts. And while that all may be fine, it leaves me wondering if we could go further. What would your ideal anarchist spirituality be? Has it existed in the past? Are you practicing it now? Does it come from a cultural legacy you share, or is something new? How can we work towards an antisocial spirituality?
So I guess to start here, welcome back, Ariel.
Thank you.
Haven't seen you in a couple of months.
Yeah, still shaking off a cold here a little bit, but right. Nice to be here.
The at the heart of this topic of the week are a couple sort of inferences that aren't mentioned but are pretty big in the context of this topic. So one is against history, against Leviathan. And the second is the sort of the witchy world that is, that we may or may not be or choose to be a part of. So Leviathan, on some level, is like a lot of things, which sort of decries the fact that we have no spirituality, but does not exactly impart much in the way of spirituality. Mm-hmm. In other words, one doesn't walk away from reading Leviathan and say, I am a pagan, you know, with these particular beliefs. One walks away from Leviathan saying, basically, the gods have been killed. And,
right.
And we are the children of that massacre, you know?
Yes.
And then...
That seems appropriate.
There's the sort of declaration that there is a witchy world that we live in. And it is as silly as the music video that this screenshot comes from that's at the have you seen this video?
Probably not.
It's just terrible. It's white pagan people basically going like, you know, we're Earth Warriors. I think the song is called Earth Warrior, and it's idiot shiver bad. So, you know, obviously our question is, like, is this the only option? Is, you know, Earth Warrior, white pagans, is that what we have? Or is what we have the nothing, the critique, the hard, harsh reality of Leviathan?
Wait, how did those become our only two options?
Well, in terms of the references that the author of the topic of the week are making.
Oh, okay.
I mean, in other words, like, I don't, you know, the carcass of the worm, a monstrous cadaver, that's from
Leviathan. That's Leviathan, yes.
And then the picture is literally like... You know.
Wait, and have we said what it is that we're talking about here? We're talking about the book Against
History.
History? Yes, Against Leviathan by Freddie Perlman, mm-hmm. put out on Black and Red Press.
Mm-hmm. 1974.
Good God, really? Is it as old as? Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. In 1974.
You know what? It might be from the 80s. Now that
I thought it was from the 80s.
Yeah, I think it might be.
So regardless, it's an absolutely fantastic book. And there are some fundamental seeds in there that then blossom into green anarchy?
Sure.
What I want?
But let's stick with the topic of the week.
They're referencing a book that I think is a good book that I want to point people towards. Do I get to do that? I'm on the podcast. I get to hawk the book. You can get it from Black and Red. You can get it from Little Black Cart. You can probably even find chunks of it online. You should find it somewhere. You should read it. It is an absolutely fantastic book. It's online. Fantastic. You don't even have to pay for it. Just go read it. And it tackles much more than just this. Yeah.
But this topic of the week's question is, what would your ideal anarchist spirituality be? And this is basically the the trailhead that they've offered us to have this conversation, and that's a terrible trailhead.
Well, that would be my thought.
So a lot of people today find that this is like the most important question. This is what their anarchist practice is all about, is practicing some version of anarchist spirituality. And so, one, do we sort of accept that? And you know, has it existed in the past? Are you practicing now? Does it come from the cultural legacy we share? I wrote a piece that's basically exactly about this particular topic, called Anarchist Nihilism. Sorry.
No. Towards
Nihilist spiritual... Anyways, it's on the Anarchist Library. Yeah. And it's worth, I guess, thinking about in the context of this conversation, because it literally goes through these questions and asks them. And let's see if we can find it. Nihilist animism.
Nihilist animism.
And I'm not going to read it here, but it is exactly the answer to this. It basically talks about how embarrassing this question is. Because even if we can get past the fact that, you know, by and large, an anarchist practice in the 21st century is one that is dead and that talks about sort of spirituality as if it doesn't exist or is sort of a dead thing, it mostly talks about how embarrassing this question is. In other words, like this music video, this spirit warrior thing, is a perfect representation of what most people look like when they're trying to practice spirituality in a modern context.
Okay.
I mean, I just feel like I want to play it for you. Just
God, no, you're not going to play terrible. It for me. No, this is, we're not doing this. I think that I am going to be the softy here and say that I think you're being a little harsh.
Okay.
Just like all, when we find anarchy and we find meaning in it, we then want to see. He's playing the video now. It's incredibly distracting. Oh my God. We want to connect it with the other things in our lives that have meaning, right? This is how you end up with bicycle revolutions by anarchists, because now bicycles are the center of anarchy for people who love cycling. That's a placeholder. The world does feel empty and meaningless and like nothing matters. And I think even more now when we are much more disconnected from each other, when such a huge percentage of the population is alone and doesn't have friends and doesn't have regular connections, looking for meaning is totally reasonable and probably something that most people should do. And moving towards spirituality, especially for those of us who grew up either without religion or in a shitty atmosphere created by religion, you want to move away from that, but you want to move towards something else. And so this is why I'm going to speak for myself. I don't know what the hell that means.
Totally.
Right?
Absolutely.
Like the closest thing I have to some understanding of spirituality is frankly having been friends with you for almost 25 years. Mm-hmm. But that's cultural and personal and like that's not mine.
And it's also embarrassing.
Well, I mean, it is a little bit embarrassing and, you know, in some of the ways that it manifests. But, you know, like some of the things that we witnessed at the Indigenous Anarchist Conference that we went to, like this is not embarrassing. This feels real. But again, that's not mine. So where do I find mine? Do I go back to my mother's Celtic roots, my grandfather's Scottish roots? Do I try to figure out exactly where in the hell in Africa my father's people are from and figure out like, okay, well, none of that makes any sense either. So we search and we're going to find things along the way that don't make any sense. But I also think that because there is no guide, there is no Sherpa, that at some point along the way, you're going to stumble into something that might feel like it makes sense to you. And the fact that it's silly and nonsense kind of doesn't matter. Because how would you know that you're not done? That you don't have farther to go? That
this is only part of what you're looking for, that this is actually doesn't have any more meaning than the thing that you're running from.
Right.
There's no, like, there just isn't any way to know. Unless you can find a community of people to at least have these discussions with, then this is just, like, on some level, this is like religion because it's just kind of blindly, look, you know, based on faith, looking for something that's going to do something for you. And I think you kind of have to be okay with the fact that you're going to be silly. Hopefully not as silly as the people in this video. But yeah, I'm not sure. So I was reading this topic of the week and thinking, I have absolutely nothing to say about this.
Sure. Right.
Because
we had the thing to say that almost everyone else probably has to say, which is that that sounds kind of cool.
Wouldn't that be lovely?
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
Right? But what are my examples of spirituality? Wicca, which is almost a farce on its own in some way. Mm-hmm. The American manifestation of Buddhism, the whatever in the world it is they're doing in Santa Cruz, you know, all of these abstract things that don't seem real. And, you know, from my perspective, I just have to kind of shake my head at. And so then how do I... Yeah, where is my authentic? I don't know.
Well, and that's part of the thing is, I guess, is the feeling that we're missing the authentic feeling? Is it the spiritual feeling or is it the social feeling? Because that's basically where I end up landing here is that there's real urgency for something social.
Sure, yeah.
You know, the once a week church experience right. Sort of is maybe the tip of the iceberg of what yeah. That looks like. And what are you willing to sacrifice for it? And right. That's part of the thing that as we get older, it gets more and more challenging because, you know, as people, humans get older, they seem to get kind of set in their ways and harder to convince to do the thing.
That's so very true.
I have some very initial brainstorms towards a project that looks something like this, but it just feels like it would take so much time. It would be such a huge, weird thing for mm-hmm. someone like me to do mm-hmm. that it seems very hard to imagine doing right. it.
I mean, if it were worthwhile, it probably would. That would be the point.
Yeah.
So this isn't a search that I am on. This is right. not my quest. I do not have a lack I am trying to fill. I have a fairly actually substantial social circle around me. I'm not looking for meaning or filling an emptiness or so. So I cannot speak for why other people are on their spiritual journeys. But it would also make sense, you know, taking this quest for spirituality, tying it to anarchy, this thing that means something to you, would kind of the natural manifestation of that would be the desire for some kind of social at the end of that.
Sure.
But maybe it's not entirely that simple. I don't know.
It is a tragic problem to even be thinking about this problem at our late age, because bottom line is whether we like it or not, we've already achieved a lot of the things we're going to achieve in our life.
Right.
And so whatever, if we were going to head down this particular path, let's say mm-hmm. a spiritual path, maybe mm-hmm. a path that's less combative, mm-hmm. that's less conflictual.
Yeah.
It feels like we've already made the mistakes that would prevent that from happening.
Yes.
Like, you know, I think about all the people who I'd like to get into a room together, and many of those people won't go into a room with me because I've already burnt their bridge with them.
Right. Yeah.
It's sort of heartbreaking to imagine, but, you know, maybe the other way to look at this is that what would it look like to join someone else's parish, whatever that means?
Sure.
And it's hard to imagine that also.
Yes, it is.
Because most people are idiots.
Something like that, yeah.
And when we think about the fact that there is a percentage of the anarchist space, we'll call it 20%, that has decided that something like this is the thing that they want to do with their life. Mm-hmm. They're not doing much.
Well, I mean,
I'm not doing enough that would attract me.
Right.
Even if I were going to open my mind to.
And that's the thing that I was going to say, perhaps from the outside looking in, Yep. They're not doing much. So that means that they are not a magnet and they are not going to be a hub for a social center. But then perhaps those people That's not why they're doing it. And what they are doing is just enough for them. And again, I'm trying to be incredibly generous here because I don't want to speak for other people. And I don't want to judge people who have actually made some kind of commitment to try to figure out how to walk this path.
Sure.
Because, it sounds unbearable. Like the idea of it seems unbearable to me. Without anchors, without signposts, without any kind of general, where is north, and yet you're going to trek out and try to find something for yourself. I mean, part of me is like, good for you. At this point in my life, I don't think I'd do that.
It seems like the only possible way is to not live in the city.
Yeah, I don't know about that. That's because you're very, earth and place oriented, but yeah, not everyone is.
Or they're wrong.
And I could see people actually feeling more alone and like they find less direction in a rural setting.
Yeah, that could be.
Where are they, there's so much busyness around you in an urban setting that might offer guidance. I don't know. I mean, I would tend to the rural as well, but we don't actually really live in that world. Yep. So.
Thank you for the conversation.
Thank you.
This week, this podcast was sound edited by Lynn O'Mabel. What's New was written by Jackie and Greg and read by Chisel and Greg. What's New was written by Jackie and Greg and written and read by Chisel and Greg. Editorial by Chisel. We thank Aragorn and a friend for their help with the topic of the week, Old Gods and New. Contact us at podcast@anarchistnews.org. To learn more, anarchist and anti-political books, pamphlets, and other material are available at littleblackcart.com. For news by and or about anarchists, and up-to-the-minute commentary, see you at anews.org and or the Anarchist News IRC chat room linked on anews.org.